food, one of the most controversial topics on the planet. If you want to start an argument, you can start talking about food, and I'm sure people will join in with their opinion. There's lots of experts in the world who study food, who have a very strong scientific view about food, and there's a lot of people who'll tell us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. You might have reasons for eating what you do or not eating stuff that you don't want to eat. You might be passionately sharing your opinion with the rest of the world about what everybody else should eat. And how did we come up with those conclusions? And if we want to inspire people to be healthy, how important is food? And that's probably, again, one of the most argued topics on the planet. A lot of people talk about food being 80% of our results. Exercise is only 20%. That seems to be a very common one. There's a lot of people who talk about, here's this statement, you can't outwalk the fork. It's been suggested that it doesn't matter how much exercise you do. If you don't have a healthy eating plan, your exercise won't work. So obviously food for some people is incredibly important. So I always like to ask myself this question, because I'm an exercise professional, not a food professional. I always like to keep my headspace as open-minded and logical and full of common sense as possible when it comes to food. And also I'm very aware that because it's such a personal topic, unlike exercise where a lot of people don't do it, is it possible that most people eat food? At some stage in our life, whether it's once a day, three times a day, five times a day, or once a week, we have to put some kind of food into our body or some kind of liquid into our body so we don't die. So one would suggest then that food is pretty important, because if you don't eat, you'll die. So here's one of my a series of questions that I always ask myself, and perhaps, and they're very personal questions, but perhaps if you consider asking them of yourself, it might give a really interesting insight into why we deliver the information that we do. So I always ask, because I have some very favorites, what is your favorite food? What do you love to eat? What food creates a wow experience for you? Do you have any foods that if somebody said you can't have that, that would be a non-negotiable, because you have to have those, or you love them, or they're a really important part of your life? They might be a cultural experience. They might just be a bloody great social experience and you love it. So are there any foods that you absolutely love to eat and you would never stop eating them? The next question I always ask is, what about the opposite? Are there any foods that you would just never eat? Either you don't like the taste of them or the feel of them in your mouth, or for cultural reasons or ethical reasons, or I just don't want to eat that reason. What are the foods that you would just never eat? And it's interesting, because if you have foods that you love and foods that you don't love, or foods that you would never eat, is it possible that other people have the same, and could they be different to yours? The next question I always ask is, why do we eat the way that we do? So if you look into your cupboard, your pantry, into your shopping trolley, into your life for a week or a month or a year, what are some of the foods or all of the foods that are always there? So just by automatic pick up off the shelf and put it in your shopping trolley, or automatically when I go to a restaurant, this is what I order. What are the foods that you always have in your life? And again, a really interesting question, because is there a reason for that? And I always ask that. Why do you eat that way? Again, is it a cultural reason? Were you brought up that way? Do you have really strong opinions about food? So there's some foods you would never buy and some foods that you always buy. Why is that? What is the driving force behind this thing, this fuel thing that we put into our body? And is it, even if you don't think food is important, I always ask the reverse question, if you don't eat, what will happen? Apparently, there's people who go 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks now without food, some people who are very serious about the fasting process of not eating anything at all. But at some stage, we have to put some kind of food into our body or liquid into our body so that we don't die. So what do you love to eat? What don't you like to eat, or you never will eat? What are you eating at the moment, and what are the reasons for doing that? Another great question I always like to ask is, where do you like to eat? It seems to be that some people have a favorite restaurant and they love to go there once, twice, three times a week. It might be a cafe. It could be a food van. Do you like to eat on the couch? Do you like to eat on a big table with your whole family and it's a big social event? Do you like to eat on the beach? Do you like a barbecue? Where do you love to eat food? Where do you find eating food to be an exciting experience? And is food an exciting experience in your life? Is it something that adds value to your life? And then there's things like weddings and social events, parties, graduations, events where families and friends get together. What kind of food do you have for those? And is it a special experience for you? How do you feel about food in your life? And I always ask myself that question and other people just to keep myself really aware of how important food can be either to me or to other people. Then there's a very controversial question, of course, which is when do you like to eat or when do you think you should eat? When is it important for you to put food into your body? We often hear things like breakfast is the most important meal of the day, or you shouldn't eat after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or you should eat three times a day, or you should only eat once a day, or there's some people now, you should only eat once every second day or once a week, or there's lots of very strong opinions now, not just about what to eat, but when we should eat it. And there's some people saying now that it actually doesn't matter what you eat as long as you eat it at a certain time frame. So here's a great question. When do you like to eat? Not when somebody tells you, but when is food more appropriate in your lifestyle? So do you love to eat breakfast? Is it an important meal of the day for you? Is it a special meal of the day for you? Is it your favorite meal? If somebody said to you, you can't eat in the evening, would that affect your lifestyle? So is food at nighttime a part of your social experience? Might even be part of your spiritual experience. There's people who eat, obviously, for ethical reasons, for moral reasons, for religious reasons. And do you have any of those going on in regards to when you should eat? So there's some religions that have fasting throughout the year. There's some religions who believe in being vegan, vegetarian. There's some religions that would never eat certain, they eat some animals but not others. And should we be aware of that? I certainly, as an exercise professional, I've become very, very aware, and often the hard way because I've made some silly mistakes, in assuming that people might eat for the same reasons that I do, in the same way that I do. And I'm obviously aware that that's not true. But I was very naive at the beginning. I thought that everybody had pretty much the same idea about food. And now I'm very aware that that's just not the case. So if we know what people love to eat and we know what they don't like to eat and we know what they're eating at the moment and the reasons why they eat that way, we know where they eat and whether the environment for them is very important, and we know what times of the day or how often or even if they eat every day, would we have a better idea of what might be the driving force behind somebody's eating habits? And I ask that question because unlike exercise, at some stage we all have to eat. And I keep sharing that because we get very caught up with exercise, again, telling people what to do, and isn't that sad? Because should we ask the same questions about somebody's exercise plan, what they want to do and why they want to do it and where they'd like to do it and when they'd like to do it and how they will feel when they do it? And that's one of the really important food questions that now becomes or can become a very emotional question. So how do you feel when you eat? And as an exercise professional, it's one of those questions I've learned to ask and have found out again the hard way that if you don't ask it, you won't really understand what the driving force is for people. So if you ask somebody, why do you eat? And they say, I eat because I'm hungry, or I eat because it's the time of the day, or I eat because I want to have great performance in my life, is very different to how do you feel when you eat and somebody says, I hate food. I don't want to eat food. It makes me feel fat. It makes me feel out of control. I wish I didn't have to eat food. So could it be a really great question to ask, why do you eat and how do you feel when you eat? And should we know the answers to those questions? The next one seems pretty logical. How do you feel if you don't eat? And a logical person may say, well, I feel hungry, or I feel weak, or I feel, some people might say hangry, I'm hungry and angry at the same time. But would it be really important to listen carefully? Because there are some people, if they trust you and they open up to you, they may share with you that when they don't eat, they feel powerful or disciplined or strong or really proud of themselves, and the longer they can go without eating food, the better. And is that a different headspace than somebody that likes to eat 3, 4, 5 times throughout the day and they hate feeling hungry? So should we ask those two questions? How do you feel if you eat? And how do you feel if you don't eat? Then because food is such a powerful tool when it comes to how we look, how we feel, how much energy we've got, how much energy we can put into our exercise and into our life, should we ask people if they're on track or off track to achieving their goals by the way they're currently eating at the moment? And again, I've learned the hard way that if somebody says to me they really love the way they eat, they're getting the results that they want, they're on track to achieving everything they want to do by the way they're eating at the moment, who am I to disagree? And do people have the right to have their own opinion about food? And do I have the right to tell somebody that they should change their opinion? I'm just putting that question out there because have you found that food can be quite emotional? There are some people that are very logical about their food. They just eat because they're hungry and they stop eating when they're full. And they, if they put on some weight, they eat less. And if they need to put on weight, they eat more. And it seems to be a very logical mathematical process. But have you met people who, if you ask them, why do you eat? They might say, I eat because I'm angry, or I eat because I'm frustrated, or I eat because I've had a bad day, or I eat because I've had a good day. I eat because my life is amazing, or I eat because I'm really angry. And there's all sorts of emotional reasons why people eat that might have nothing to do with hunger. And what does this have to do with being an exercise professional? I'm asking all of these questions because what does food have to do with exercise? And again, that's a very argued answer. Here's a great quote that I hold myself accountable to. Is it better for a question to go unanswered than an answer to go unquestioned? We give a lot of answers to people about food, and it seems that the profession of exercise, or the fitness industry, I'll probably call it, gives out a lot of information about food, delivers information or answers to questions. But should we, or do we have a responsibility to ask questions about those answers? And my two favorite, as you know, is why are we doing that and why would it work, or how does it work? Why have you suggested that, and how does it actually work? And how much should we know as exercise professionals about food, about the macronutrients and what they do in the body? And I always ask those four questions just as a standard base level of information for exercise professionals to know. What are the four macronutrients? Where do they come from? How does the body store them? Or how does the body use them once they go into the body? How does the body store them, transport them? If we store them, how do we burn them off? And after we burn them off, where does it go? And if we don't know the answers to those questions, should we, as exercise professionals, should we be talking about food if we don't understand the basics, which is just the fundamentals of macronutrition, let alone micronutrition? And I always ask the question, how much do I need to know about micronutrition as an exercise professional, and what does it have to do with exercise? And I'm asking this question very specifically because we often tell people, this is what to eat. You can have this, you can't have that. Mustn't have, don't have, shouldn't have. That's a bad food. And I'm asking now what that could do psychologically and physiologically to another human being if, number one, we haven't asked all of those personal questions, and number two, if we actually don't know what food does inside the body. And having been an exercise professional for a very long time, and as I often share, having many, in fact, most of my clients who had a very ugly relationship with food, where they either wanted to not eat at all, they hated it so much they wanted to be in full control of their appetite and never eat, or people who would eat as much as they possibly could and then exercise frantically, take laxatives to vomit and or poo out their food because they hated it so much, but they couldn't control eating it. They just wanted to control what happened to their food after they ate it. And then lots of clients who were obese, morbidly obese, who had no control over their food. So they just kept eating and eating for emotional reasons rather than logical reasons. So very few people who ate for hunger, but they ate because they were angry, or they were frustrated, or they wanted to self-harm, or they just hated themselves so much they were trying to damage their body by eating a large amount of food. And I'm sharing this very sadly and all, but also very passionately, because I don't want people to live like that. How about you? And as an exercise professional, if I ever felt that I was responsible for pushing people towards food being in control of their life, versus somebody loving their life so much that they enjoy their food, they enjoy their exercise, and they live happily balanced between those three, between food, exercise, and a happy life. And what do we need to do to get people to that point? And is it possible, and I'm just asking the question, is it possible that if we put a stigma on food that it's bad, that we shouldn't eat that because it's bad, or we shouldn't have that because it's unhealthy, or you can't have that because it's going to make you fat, or don't eat that because it'll do terrible things to you, is it possible that we start making people emotional about food rather than logical? There's a couple of other questions in that series that may help. So we ask people what they love to eat, what they don't like to eat, what they're eating at the moment, why they eat that way, where they love to eat, when they love to eat, the reasons or how do they feel when they do eat, how do they feel if they don't eat, and the reasons why they eat that way. Then are they on track or off track to achieving their goals from the way they're eating at the moment? Then that beautiful question, if you were your own high-performance eating coach, what advice would you give yourself? And should we listen very carefully to the answers, and should we be respectful of those answers? Because is it possible that everybody has, and I'll rephrase, does everybody have the right to their opinion about food? And even if I think I want to change somebody's opinion because what I think what they're doing is wrong, is it possible that they think what they're doing is right, and should I find out about it? Then the last question is, of course, what do you want from me as your exercise professional? Not your dietitian, not your nutritionist, not somebody who specializes or is a professional of food. I'm an exercise professional who specializes in helping people to get fit and strong through exercise. What help do you want from me? Do you want, what advice do you want from me? Do you want anything from me when it comes to your food? And the reason I'm so passionate about that is so many times when I learned to ask that question, people just shared with me, no, I've got a naturopath. No, I've got a dietitian. No, my footy coach has written me a program. No, I eat this way for a reason and I don't want your help. If I start preaching at people, teaching, trying to teach people, lecturing at them, telling them what to do, is it possible because food is such an emotional thing that I could make them angry or upset? Or worse, push them down that emotional eating scale towards the place where food is controlling their life. I would love our kids to grow up in a world where they eat their food and really enjoy it. And I'll use the logical, I eat because I'm hungry, I stop eating because I'm full, I eat for performance because I want to be energetic and perform at my best, and yes, I want to look great in and out of my clothes, and yes, I want my food to help me with the results that I would like to get from my eating and exercise plan, but I don't want food to be controlling my life. And when you, like me, have worked with people where food is controlling their life, and that's at the point where whenever you sit down to eat something or stand up to eat something or consider eating something or even consider going somewhere where there is food, there is a big argument. And all of my clients that have had poor relationships with food all share exactly the same thing, that food becomes the controlling factor of their life, and it becomes an argument in their head every time food is available or they can see food or they have to be thinking about eating food. Can I have this? No, I can't. How many calories? How long will it take me to burn it off? I wish I could have it. No, I can't have it. It's too fattening. It'll make me fat. How long do I have to exercise to get rid of it? And there's no enjoyment anymore with food because it just becomes an argument and for some people a war inside their head. So whether you have been an exercise professional for a really long time like I have, or you are considering becoming an exercise professional or anything in between, what is our responsibility when it comes to food? And should we first find out what food means to our client, to the people that we care about? Should we be really interested in all the reasons why they're doing what they're doing at the moment? And if somebody actually asks for our help, which is very special, somebody says, please, can you help me lose weight? Or please, can you help me be more energetic? Or please, can you help me eat more effectively or eat healthy? Or should we find out all of those things first before we deliver information? And why do we need to deliver information? Is it possible that, and I always ask this question, if somebody was healthy, fit and strong and they got out of shape, Could it be a great question to ask, why do you think you put on weight, or why do you think you got out of shape? And could we just reverse the process? So whatever got you there obviously wasn't very good. Can we just reverse it? And I'll rephrase. Is it better if we take the pressure off the food and put more focus on the can of exercise? And I always ask this question. We can tell people what they can't eat, or we can tell people, share with people, inspire and excite people what exercise can do for their body. And that's my favorite question. Can we turn a body, a human body, into a food burning, calorie burning, fat burning, sugar burning, carbohydrate burning machine? And if I am fit and I am strong and I am doing all of those things, first and number one question, what happens to my brain? Unfortunately, when we focus on food and what we can't have, when we focus on dieting and reducing calories and telling people that they have to restrict the things that they love, what happens to the human brain? Do we become happy, positive, excited people? I'll rephrase. How many people do you know, if they're going to start a diet on Monday, get really excited about it? I can't wait to start my diet on Monday. Usually what happens is people eat as much as they possibly can on Sparkle Day Sunday, so they, because their life's going to end on Monday when I go on my diet. And then unfortunately, of course, if people are restricting what they love to eat, is it possible that there's a bounce back effect or a binge effect at the end of the diet period? Why do we use diets? Usually diets are a solution to a problem. I'm overweight, I need to go on a diet. I'm chubby, I need to lose weight. What if we never put on weight in the first place? And or is this beautiful statement, which is one of my favorites, if I need to lose weight, let's lose it and never find it again. Let's pick a weight, let's pick a size, let's pick an energy level, and let's stay that way for the rest of our life. And is it possible that if we focus on exercise, which the most important and powerful tool of exercise is what it does for our brain? Unfortunately, dieting makes us feel unhappy and angry and miserable and depressed for some people, because I have to be on a diet, versus when I get puffed, when I lift heavy, when I get fit and strong, I fill my brain up with the ultimate happy drugs. Dopamine is a reward drug. When I sprint and when I lift heavy, my brain feels fantastic because I've done something to overcome a stress. My brain fills up with serotonin, which is a satisfaction drug. I love my life, so I won't be looking for food as a comfort food, because I already feel good because I've puffed and I've lifted. I will be filled up with this beautiful thing called an endorphin, which is a painkiller. And a lot of people eat because they're in pain. But if I can get people puffing, getting fit, lifting heavy, getting strong, and their body's automatically producing endorphins, is it possible that they won't need to have food as a painkiller for whatever horrible thing is going on in their life? And then I produce brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a fertilizer for my brain, which helps me think differently, think more clearly, make better decisions, and really importantly, grow new brain cells. So even if I've got some horrible connections in my brain and some rotten old brain cells that have made me feel a certain way about food up until now, is it possible that if I get really fit and really strong, I get puffed? And that's the important thing. It's the high intensity activity and the heavy lifting that really changes our brain. Is it possible then that my focus will be about food will be different as well? And I'm just putting it out there because we often link food and exercise. We get people to try and eat a certain way and try and exercise a certain way. And I say try for a reason, because try doesn't usually work. I'll try and do it usually means I'm not going to do it. What if we aim to get people really fit and really strong, let them eat whatever they bloody well want? Is it possible? I'm just asking this. Is it possible that if somebody's fitter and if they're stronger, they'll make better decisions about everything? And I always use this beautiful example of a client who I didn't focus at all on food, nothing. Just said exactly that, eat whatever you bloody well want. All I want to do is get you really fit and really strong. So we're going to get you puffed on a regular basis several times throughout the day. And we created a program where he literally, he had to go to the bathroom. He had a two-story house. If he had to go to the bathroom, he'd have to go to the downstairs toilet if he was upstairs, and the upstairs toilet if he was downstairs. We put his clothes in all different rooms around his house so that as he got dressed, he had to run from one room to another to get dressed. His life was focused on intermittent sprinting. He had to snack on sprinting throughout the day. Of course, we did high-intensity strength training with me once a week, where we really aimed to get him really, really strong. And no focus on food, because one of his big things was he loved alcohol, he loved food, and didn't want to be told what to eat or how much to eat, never wanted to go on a diet. So that was my original conversation. Asked all of the beautiful questions and said, mate, we're not going on any eating plan, any healthy kick for food. Just eat whatever you bloody well want, drink whatever you want. Just make sure we get you puffed throughout the day, several times throughout the day, and make sure you come in for some high intensity lifting once a week. And the beautiful thing was that this, and I'm just using this as a simple example, his name was Andrew, and he changed his entire eating plan all by himself. And he would come in, because we caught up every week without fail, he never missed. And he would come in and say, Roey, I'm drinking more water because I heard that song of yours about drink more water till you've got clear wheeze. I feel better because I'm drinking a bit more water. Roey, I used to have 5-6 beers every night. I've cut them down to 1 or 2. I feel much better. Roey, I used to have takeaway food 3-4 times a day. I'm chucking in a bit of salad and a bit of veggies and cutting back on the deep fried stuff. I feel better. And he completely changed his own eating plan all by himself. I didn't say one thing about food. I took all the pressure off the food and just placed the passion on the can of exercise and what it would do for his human body, and not even in relationship to fat burning, calorie burning, food burning, carbohydrate burning, sugar burning, which is exactly what a fit human will do, is burn all of those faster. I just said what will happen is your body will get fitter and stronger and everything will work better. And we just kept it simple. And this is the guy that turned into a I hate exercise man to somebody who would look at the diary and say, Roey, my training day's at Christmas. You better be here to train me on Christmas. I'm sharing that with you because after so many years as an exercise professional and watching so many people start and stop, coming to the gym, starting a diet, starting an exercise plan, I don't want people to start and stop. I want people to start and keep going and live happy and healthy for the rest of their life. How about you? So if we tell people what they can do rather than what they can't do, if we inspire and excite them to be fit and strong and not tell them what they can't eat, is it possible they might be more likely to stick to their exercise? Last but not least, if you're really passionate about food and you really think that people shouldn't be eating a certain way, and if you've really got a strong opinion, here's a question I'm almost begging you to ask before you deliver information. I'll pre-frame with, is it possible that people have the right to have their opinion about food, and do people have an opinion about food? And if yours is different and you think that your idea is going to help somebody better than what they're doing at the moment, could we ask this question? If there was a safer, quicker, better way to get the results that you want from, or the result that you've shared with me that's important to you, would you like to chat about that? If there was a safer, quicker, faster, better way to eat, is that something you'd like to talk about? And all I'm asking is then that you give them a safer, quicker, better way. Not more complicated, not harder to stick to, not some diet that's filled up with stuff that they may or may not be able to afford. That's one of the really big ones. There's a lot of fitness people who share with their clients, you have to eat this and you can't have that and you've got to take this nutritional plan. What if the person doesn't have any money? What if they can't afford a nutritional supplementation program? Should we be able to ask that question of ourselves? What if there is no supplementation? Is it possible to get whatever we need from our food? And if that's possible, what would we need to do that? But I'll rephrase. If I get somebody really fit and really strong, is it possible they might want to change on their own? So just some things to consider. I'm an old lady who's been doing this for a really long time. I'm also an old lady who has had the same weight, the same size, the same energy level, the same passion for life every single day. And I wake up with energy and I maintain it throughout the day. I've been one time in my life on a diet when I did a bodybuilding competition, and I'll never do that again. I love my food, I love my exercise, and I love my life, and I would love for everybody else to be able to live their life like that. So whatever it is that you decide to do with your clients, with the people that you love, if you're an exercise professional, could you please consider that loving food and loving exercise and loving life might have a lot more to do with what we can do rather than what we can't have? Thank you.